Let's pray. Holy God, blow away the chaff and plant the seed, that we might be about your business and aglow with your spirit. Amen. So, who can tell me what hymn contains this line, "Teach me the patience of unanswered prayer"? It's in our hymnals. Okay. It's from Spirit of God, Descend Upon My Heart. And it was in the hymnal of the church I served for many years. And on all those years, I never selected it to be sung by the congregation. And maybe this is just me, but to me, that line sounds pious, but I don't find I have to pray for more unanswered prayer. I would rather learn to pray the sort of prayers which spring from the very heart of God and, you know, get answered in the affirmative. Well, the lectionary has us back at the Last Supper, even though we've been in post-resurrection accounts since Easter, but now we're back at the Last Supper, which in John's gospel includes a lengthy discourse by Jesus, preparing his friends from the horror of the crucifixion, which is about to happen, and preparing them to take over his work. One of the many subjects he talks about is praying. And three times in this lengthy discourse, of which we just heard, you know, a little piece, Jesus tells them, "You'll get anything you ask for in my name." And he says it emphatically, very truly, I tell you, emphatically and repeatedly. But it's a pretty outrageous statement. I mean, we know if Blue Devils fans are playing for their team to win and Tar Heels fans are playing for their team to win, someone's going to end up with unanswered prayer, or at least prayer is not answered the way they want. And that's just common sense. And if we know ourselves at all, we know that we are capable and perhaps even prone to ask for ill-advised things which will ultimately disappoint us. The adult equivalent of asking for marshmallows for breakfast. Friends of mine had a very stubborn, opinionated daughter. I'm talking about Elizabeth, my son remembers her, who is now a surgeon. But when she was 9 years old, she was convinced that marshmallows were the perfect food and the only thing she wanted to consume going forward. Well, her parents were very wise, so they agreed to this. And one morning she comes down to breakfast to a bowl full of marshmallows. This is so exciting. And she opens her school snack and it's marshmallows, and her school lunch is marshmallows, and her after-school snack is marshmallows. And then she comes down to dinner to a plate full of marshmallows while everybody else is enjoying a delicious smelling lasagna dinner. And she breaks down and begs to be allowed to eat lasagna. Well, we do the same sort of thing in maybe less obvious ways. But that promotion, you're sure is your future, might swell up your head so much you can't walk through the door and you become insufferable. That person you're pining to marry might turn out to be very different than what you thought. That glorious political candidate may have that undiscovered underbelly not yet revealed by the press. And when we are wise, we want God to exercise veto power over the things we ask for, lest we make ourselves or others or this world more of a mess than it already is. But there are those words of Jesus, "I will do whatever you ask in my name." And he says it emphatically three times. And he says this to the same guys whose enthusiasm he had to curb over in Luke 9, They had visited a village. Things had not gone well in the village. People hadn't responded to Jesus. And on the way out of town, two of them suggest that now would be a good time to rain down fire from heaven on the villagers. And Jesus, the text, it's so restrained. The text says Jesus rebuked them. I picture him holding his head in anguish, wondering how he's ever going to trust his business to these clowns. Clearly, there are things Jesus isn't going to do, even if we ask him. So where does this leave us? We don't want to be disrespectful of the words of Jesus, nor do we want to be presumptuous, asking like we have Jesus in our back pocket, ready to do anything we want at our bidding. Gullibility and desperation have sometimes married to create an alarming theology in the face of these words. So what do we do? Well, I'm going to suggest we start by looking at the context, because context is always our best interpretive clue. And you probably already know this saying, but it's a great one. A text without a context is just a pretext. Maybe looking at the context, we'll get a glimmer of insight. It might not answer all our questions, but it will give us some direction. I said, Jesus is speaking at the Last Supper on the cusp of his crucifixion, shortly before his friends will be entrusted to carry on his work. In this talk, he also promises them persecution and maybe death. And then Jesus says, I will do whatever you ask in my name. I'm going to try putting it this way. Do not even think about attempting to face what lies ahead or to take on new assignments in your own strength and wisdom alone. Ask for what you need in my name and you'll get it. I'm going to say that again. Do not even think about attempting to face what lies ahead or to take on your new assignments in your own strength and wisdom alone. Ask for what you need in my name and you'll get it. Now, is this weaselly of me? Maybe, but I'm going with it. Jesus is looking around the table at his friends, his fallible, limited, confused, frightened friends, people who have shown themselves to be as fully human as we are, people with rivalries, some of whom think more of themselves than maybe they ought to. They have passions, they have prejudices, and they're facing a horrific week and about to be entrusted with carrying on the business of the reign of God. These people are going to panic and make a mess of things if they attempt to do this in their own strength and wisdom alone. And Jesus says, don't do that. Ask for what you need in my name and you'll get it. Well, Jesus and the Bible in general calls us to do lots of difficult things. Love others as you love yourself. Oh, yeah, right. I just do that perfectly. Forgive those who have hurt you. Come on, now that's hard. Look out for those at the margins, putting their interests ahead of your own. In any way that works in your system. Obviously, Jesus is not in a participatory democracy. He doesn't talk about how we vote, but I think we can, you know, read that into this sort of thing. Share your resources lavishly. Don't judge other people. Don't covet, etc. It doesn't get any easier. When we immerse ourselves in learning about and fighting the injustices and inequalities in this world, it is easy to end up angry, vengeful, bitter, despairing. I can find myself shouting just listening to the radio, rather than exhibiting the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, We can make a terrible, well-intentioned mess of things and make a mess of ourselves when we attempt the work of God without relying on God. Ask for what you need in Jesus' name as you go about following where Jesus leads.